This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The nation is gripped by this pandemic, an economic crisis, and protests against police brutality. And it's also seeing a spike in homicides.
An innocent bystander is one of the latest victims in the surge of gun violence in New York City.
A mass shooting in Chicago overnight outside a funeral home.
And here locally, Cincinnati police responding to a spike in homicides.
What we have is one extremely violent night in the city of Cincinnati.
We've seen young people, we've seen women, we've seen an alarming number of unintended victims that have fallen at the hands of this unprecedented gun violence.
Now Cincinnati's mayor is asking for $1 million to fight back.
And the levels of gun violence we're seeing across the country and here are unacceptable.
Mayor Cranley will ask City Council for the additional funds received from the state to pay for police overtime and community safety organizers within the police department. But the push for more police funding comes at a time of racial unrest and calls to defund the police. Cincinnati's budget hearings in June erupted with demands to slash CPD's funding.
And this budget is not acceptable. All right? So while I have some time left, what we want you to do is take 50% of the budget away. And I will be back at another public hearing to talk more about, but as far as the police, we want 50%.
But with the mayor's call for more funding comes a push for police reform.
It's important to say that there is nothing inconsistent with police reform and wanting more police to reduce gun violence. These are difficult times we're living in this country right now. And we have real race tensions, and we have really too much gun violence in this country.
And last week, Mayor Cranley introduced a U.S. Conference of Mayors report on police reform and racial justice with policy directives for the city and for the Cincinnati Police Department. And joining us now live, our Cincinnati Mayor, John Cranley. He's on Zoom with us. Mayor Cranley, welcome back to our show.
Great to be with you.
And we also have with us on the phone, Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley. Mayor Whaley, welcome back to our program as well.
Great to be on. Thanks.
I'm so glad that we could have both of you at the same time. You're both playing a role at the U.S. Conference of Mayors. We'll note that Mayor Cranley here of Cincinnati is on the Police Reform and Racial Justice Working Group, and Mayor Whaley is vice president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. So, Mayor Cranley, before we talk about your policy proposals here locally and the funding mechanisms, let's talk about this report on police reform and racial justice released just last month through the United States Conference of Mayors. You serve on this committee with four other mayors from across the country, including Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, which has certainly seen its share of deadly violence in its city. What can you tell us about what the goals were of this?
Yeah, thank you. First, I want to thank the U.S. Conference, Nan Whaley, who's going to be the incoming president this upcoming year, they asked Mayor Lightfoot, myself, and Mayor Castor of Tampa, Florida. And Mayor Castor was a former police chief herself, and then several other police chiefs, including the former chiefs of Baltimore, Washington, D.C., the current chief of Columbia, South Carolina, et cetera, to put together a practical guide to police reform. You know, you have this extreme rhetoric on the left about defund the police, and you have, you know, folks on the right who don't want to do anything. And mayors are doers and are pragmatic. And it's hard to, you know, mayors across the country who had not been through experiences like we had in 2001. And what's happening, you know, what's happening now is every day there seems to be a new 2001 in some city in America. And the body cameras have helped bring to the fore what's always been happening, but is now visible for the plain eye to see. And so it's causing huge demands, I think righteous demands for reform. And so the U.S. Conference asked us to put together a report that are action items that are doable, pragmatic, that are not anti-law enforcement, but are pro-justice and reform. And so I was honored to be on the task force, and I'm very proud of the report that we produced.
And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the specifics within the report. Mayor Whaley, as Mayor Cranley noted, you will be the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors next time around. And some of the rhetoric that we're hearing about mayors in particular, as it relates to the presidential election and the role that rioting and protesting and deadly police violence are playing in the narrative, you hear the term Democrat-run cities a lot. And there's a lot of notations that the mayors of these cities are Democrats. And so what is naturally a political office has been made even more politically charged in this current political climate. I'm wondering if you could just speak in general about what role you see mayors playing currently and just some general response to that rhetoric that's hurled at people like you.
Yeah, well, it's great to be on. It's always great to be on with Mayor Cranley. Get to work with him quite often and done a terrific job in Cincinnati and a great leader across the country. I think the rhetoric is from one person in particular, President Trump, who is desperately trying to pass blame on for his failure as president right now. And, you know, people are not feeling good about the direction of the country because of the pandemic, because of the recession, because of the pain that people have been feeling for, quite honestly, decades of systemic racism. And so he wants to pass the buck to, as Mayor Cranley says, the doers of politics, mayors. I think it's a failed attempt, frankly, when 80% of Americans live in cities. And most of, you know, a lot of these cities across Ohio, for example, are run by not Democratic mayors, but Republican mayors. And so, I think he's trying to take a couple of extreme examples in some places that do have some extreme politics and trying to blanket it across the country in places that we really haven't seen when we look at the June efforts of Black Lives Matter, a study was just released that 93% of these protests were completely peaceful. And that's what most people experienced in their cities across Ohio and across the country. People demanding change and peacefully asking for it. And so I think that a lot of times his picture of what's happening in American cities is not the picture that people see every day in the cities they live in.
Mayor Cranley, I note that when you were speaking just moments ago, you noted that, in your opinion, the right, the extreme right, doesn't want to do anything as it relates to some of this deadly police violence, and that the left, your words, might be calling for too much. You're hearing terms like defund the police. And although that is loosely defined, I want to note in this report that the U.S. Conference of Mayors published, per the recommendations from the working group that you were a part of with other large city mayors and large city police chiefs, one of the priorities is redefining the role of local police in public safety. I want to read directly what that says. Quote, "We ask police officers to protect our communities from crime and violence, to promote public safety. They play an essential role in our cities, but we are often asking police to be first responders on every scene. Although our police play a vital role, they are not always the best response. They should not be the only public response to every need in our communities. Mental health, homelessness, and domestic violence are just a few examples of challenges for which we need to rethink our response." And Mayor, among the first recommendations that follows that statement is, we must continue to fund policing, but we must do so strategically. So that is a pushback on the narrative of defund the police, but also a recognition of a need for change. Could you elaborate a little bit on what might come of that?
Absolutely. First, you know, we're all seeing, and Cincinnati is obviously no exception, record levels of gun violence, which is very distressing, and the numbers of families that are decimated and devastated by these losses is incalculable and has a multiplier effect in a negative way. And so we need our officers to be focusing on gun violence. We just announced an initiative with the U.S. Attorney to go after illegal guns and to bring federal prosecution against the distribution and use of illegal guns in our community. And so we can't defund the police. We need more policing right now. But as the report says, a co-responder model that involves social work, mental health, nursing, et cetera, suicide prevention, is critical to a comprehensive safety approach to communities. But remember that the reason we don't have a lot of those things is because really for the last 40 years since the Reagan era, and certainly through Trump's enormous tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans, we've seen a disinvestment from the federal and the state level in the very safety network, a social network of social workers, mental health experts, nurses,
et cetera, that provide and the permanent supportive housing that is needed for those who are mentally ill. And so what we're pointing out is that we need that safety net to be reinvested in, not at the expense of the police, but in addition to the limited resources we have. And I can't help but say again that Mitch McConnell recently said that states and cities could declare bankruptcy, or he wanted them to, instead of getting additional help. I mean, what a jerk. I mean, here's a guy who is the largest deficit spender in the history of the country, who has a 35% income tax rate and the ability to print money without limitation. And people like Mayor Whaley and I have to live with 1.8% or 2.1% income tax total, and we must balance our budget every year. And so, you know, you give me a 35% tax rate and the ability to print money, and I'll make sure we have the mental health co-responder model that we need. But what we want to do in this report is bring attention to this fact that we need the assistance of the federal and state governments to re-knit the social network and fabric that has been disinvested in for the last 30, 40 years. And I think that some of the polarization that we've seen across the country between left wing and right wing is a direct result of breaking that fabric of a social safety net that united us as a country. And I think that we need to remember that should be our North Star, that helps bring us back to be one country with the collaboration and partnership between federal, state, and local. And the idea that the president would be attacking his cities, because we're all part of America, instead of offering to help cities, is disgusting.
And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, joined live now by Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley on Zoom, and on the phone by Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley, both involved in the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Mayor Whaley is currently the vice president, will be the next vice president, and Mayor Cranley serves on a committee that recently helped produce the report on police reform and racial justice. And Mayor Whaley, I'd like to ask you a similar question on how you envision striking that balance between making sure that there is a police department, but also recognizing a need for reform after the many deaths of African Americans in particular at the hands of police officers.
Well, I think John said it really well in this issue that we've seen over the past four decades, and the only local service that really is left for people to call is police. And what we're asking police to do and what the report says, I think, is exactly right. There's too much lying on our police departments for every single issue, and it's because there aren't any other services. We have seen great success in Dayton and cities across Ohio on a co-respond effort when we have dealt with the opioid epidemic, you know, really making sure that we had mental health services and addiction services lined up so police could quickly move to them during the heart of the epidemic. What we need to think about is how we can do that more holistically, and that's some of the work that we're doing in Dayton. And looking at cities, for example, like Eugene, Oregon, who has had an alternative dispatch response system for 30 years, you know, moving around 24,000 calls off of their system, so that way it allows the police officers to do more of the police work and allows people to get the help they really need. Right now, the only tool we have in a lot of communities is the police department and the jail, and they are not effective tools. They're expensive tools for these issues that we're seeing in our community. And I think this is what you get when you've had four decades of disinvestment in social services.
Mayor Whaley, I actually want to ask you about that because, you know, at the municipal level, first responders are often more than half of a city's budget. When we're talking about the police department, the fire department, and other services related to that, when you look at reforming the way police departments are funding, what could, in what would be your view, a positive outcome, what could that do to the resources that cities like Dayton or Cincinnati would have to expend on other needed services?
Well, I agree with Mayor Cranley that, you know, coming through the Great Recession, we saw significant cuts to police and fire services to get through it. And so we are at bare-bone levels. And I think in Dayton, for example, we had, as we're working through our police reform efforts and we're making great strides in that work, five different groups with recommendations from Black Lives Matter to the NAACP Not a single group in Dayton recommended to defund the police. And I think that just tells you that, you know, people in Dayton know how few officers we have. And so it is about how the police work, what we can do to rebuild the relationship of trust between the community and police, and how we can make our police office, police department more diverse. You know, so I think that's very telling for us in Dayton. And across the state of Ohio, I think most mayors in our state are not hearing that call, but really saying, how can we do better? And that is the opportunity that we're seeing with this really amazing time. I mean, as a mayor, while these times are difficult to lead through, they present great opportunity to make change. And that's what I think most mayors are in the interest of doing, is to making changes to make their community stronger and better. And so having the attention of the community at this time on this issue allows us to get a lot more done than we would be able to even a year ago.
Mayor Cranley, in this report on police reform and racial justice issued through the United States Conference of Mayors, you're part of the working group that put this together. The report addresses the protest. And these protests are at least understandable in the sense that there is an uprising, a call for justice after numerous deaths of African Americans at the hands of police departments. We also have the great misfortune of this uprising happening in the time of a pandemic. So there are those concerns about large gatherings when we should be staying away from each other as best we can. But you have some recommendations for departments in general as it relates to the First Amendment. Can you talk a little bit about how police departments should be interacting with these large protests?
Sure. We have seen across the country, as Mayor Whaley said, that 93% of these protests have been peaceful. And after the first weekend in Cincinnati, we had another 2 weeks of the largest protests in the history of the city that I'm aware of that were 100% peaceful. The first weekend, we had some rioting and looting, and we instituted a curfew, and we kept that curfew in place for several weeks. But after that first weekend, when we were very serious about drawing the line at rioting and looting, that ceased to happen. And I think that the professionalism of the Cincinnati Police Department was unbelievable. I rode along with them all weekend. And, you know, the restraint that they showed was incredible. And sadly, you know, for a lot of different reasons, Cincinnati has a lot of experience with this. And our police are really the best at this. And, you know, I think about the number of times that the officers have taught me how to handle these situations, meaning when I ask questions, why are we letting people in the middle of the road and that kind of stuff? And our officers have really, I think, written the book on allow peaceful protests to happen, including shutting down, letting, as long as they're walking and not holding up traffic indefinitely, to help them get through downtown if they're going to do a walk between the Justice Center and the police and City Hall, et cetera, or the Hamilton County Courthouse, that they will aid and abate that up until the time that they see a property being destroyed and violence occurring. And I think a lot of other cities can and should learn from the Cincinnati Police Department and how we handled it. It was really, incredible. I would also point out that we were one of the, and I know Mayor Whaley is in the same spot, didn't need it. And I don't think they had any significant rioting or looting. So the Dayton Police Department, led by a former Cincinnati police leader, the chief, did a great job too. But, you know, we didn't call in the National Guard. And I think that sometimes that might be necessary, but it should be a last resort, because those are folks who don't know the streets, don't know the neighborhood, don't know the community. And our police have developed relationships over years that we have ongoing communication with the protest leaders before the protest and after, to the extent they're willing to talk to us and talk about what will be considered inbounds and out of bounds throughout the weekend weeks of protest.
And Mayor Whaley, let me throw it back to you. We've talked on multiple occasions on this program with you, with others, referencing this very strange period, this very critical period in American history, and that something feels different about the protests, the calls for action and change. Maybe it took a once in a century pandemic for people to really reflect on the state of the nation. But because of those feelings, Do you expect that there will be some significant change to emerge from these conversations that are happening across the country as it relates to policing and racial justice soon?
I do. And I'm very hopeful about it. And while it is, I think, again, sometimes painful to lead through it, I think there's great opportunity for change. Again, if we think about the past four decades, and I'm glad that Mayor Cranley loves Chief Beal. I expected Mayor Cranley to mention Chief Beal, our chief here, who did come from Cincinnati. We were talking this past Friday, and really what we've seen over the past four decades, in addition to the disinvestment in social services, we've seen a failed war on drugs, a terrible drug policy that's ended on the ground with police as last resort again, with not decisions that don't make a lot of sense anymore. And then also after 9/11, a militarization of the police. And you're seeing both of those issues nationally come home to roost. And so this is an important conversation and reset for the entire country. For example, in Dayton, we can get federal funding for body armor, but we cannot get federal funding for body cameras. These kind of decisions on what we can get grants for are easy changes that can be thoughtful about what we're doing in policing. While, we're going through police reform, there are many things cities can do, but a lot of the decisions around police are state laws and federal rules. And so this whole national change about really how are we policing, why are we policing, and what are we trying to get from our communities, I think are going to be really important as we move forward, and have been impressed with some of the conversations nationally around, hey, we should really start investing in more transparency in cities. We should really start, looking about how the citizen appeals process goes in cities and incentivizing cities to move that direction. That's really, really important in this conversation as well.
Mayor Cranley, I've got about 30 seconds. You've got a $1 million plan proposed last week, dividing funding between increasing a police presence and creating a group of community safety organizers to pay for a second Cincinnati-focused special assistant U.S. attorney. Do you expect this proposal to move forward?
I certainly hope so. I mean, this is, to be fair, it's Chief Isaac's plan, and he proposed the co-responder model as part of this plan. But the fact is, we have far too many shootings, and so we need a greater police presence right now. We need to support them financially and morally and help to bring down the gun violence with a co-responder model.
Mayor John Cranley of Cincinnati and Mayor Nan Whaley of Dayton, thanks to both of you for coming on together and spending so much time with us. We do appreciate it.
It was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our technical director is Josh Elstrow. And I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.